Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on February 24th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm great this morning, Joe. And, you know, we're the only people working this morning. You know where everybody is?
No, where?
They're all at the Redondo Beach State of the City address down at Crown Plaza. It started at 7 o'clock. It started an hour ago.
Right. And that's a great event. I don't often make it because we have the show and other commitments, but I really do love those. I will try to make it next time.
Yeah. I went a couple of years ago. It was before we started the. Well, wait. Let me think. Did I go last year? I think I went last year. I don't know how I managed that.
Maybe.
I think it's always on a Friday.
Maybe
it's not always on a Friday. But I did go last year. But yeah, that is a good event. But we're missing it this morning because we're working.
That's right. We're working, and it's so clear outside because, of course, last evening, this cold wind was blowing through. Arctic air.
It's a little chilly, but as you said, it cleared out all the smog, and it's absolutely crystal clear this morning. The ocean is blue.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had a great week. We've had some great guests, and we're looking forward to the future working with the chambers that we work with, Manhattan and Redondo Chamber. But when you talk about business owners and entrepreneurs, they still need a lot of help. And the chambers do what they do, but there's still a lot of education required for business owners, and we're going to hopefully provide some of that education today, Jackie. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Michael McCarroll, author of Cracking the Code to Seven Figures, 10 Myths Every Business Owner and Entrepreneur Must Overcome to Take Their Business to the Next Level. Michael is a trusted advisor to ambitious business owners committed to taking their business to seven figures. He has long been dedicated to helping business owners find hidden leverage points that can sail them past the seven-figure mark. Michael's entrepreneurial roots run deep. He gained a thorough understanding of the trials and tribulations in business at a very early age. And through this understanding, he has nurtured many entrepreneurial firms to success, working within the deepest levels of their organizations. Michael realizes that one of the biggest problems for entrepreneurs is the fear that holds them in their comfort zone. He knows that to be successful, it requires using their discomfort, just as an elite athlete uses physical pain to reach extraordinary levels of achievement. Now, if you're ready to challenge the six-figure myths, Michael wants to walk alongside you in taking your business to the next level. Welcome to the program, Michael. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure.
Now, first of all, Michael, I want to clear up something because we were talking before the show, and I'm not quite sure I have it straight, but explain to us what are seven figures versus six figures. Most people have talked about a six-figure income as being a goal. Tell us about that a little bit, and we're gonna talk more about the what before we get to the why and the how.
Sure. So I help entrepreneurs that are making six figures now, so their business is $200,000 or $500,000, for instance, and they want to ramp it up. So they want to get to seven figures or beyond of revenue per year. So someone that's doing $200,000 wants to ramp up their business to do $1 million or more a year. So that's the six-figure to seven-figure nomenclature. And, you know, it's a lot of entrepreneurs have that in mind. It's like, oh, I really want to get there. It's just like a signpost or a goal or an ambition of theirs.
Right. We've done shows where we've talked about how, you know, especially here in the South Bay, in the South Bay of Los Angeles, it's a very affluent community, and making $100,000 used to be across the country a signature sort of milestone, but making $100,000 today isn't really a lot of money, especially if you have a family.
No, absolutely. And we were talking a little bit before the show, and of course, many of the property values in the South Bay are a million at least, well over. But yes, $100,000 doesn't go where it used to 20 years ago, that's for sure. So, you know, getting revenue up, making sure that your business is producing what it needs to produce so that you can take care of your family, you know, put your kids through college, take the vacations you want, so you can, you know, live the life you want to. That's what this is about. It is, you know, cracking the code to seven figures, and most people are very interested in money. But when I start talking to entrepreneurs, what I really find is there's always a reason they got into business. There's always some kind of dream they want to fulfill. And sometimes it's just, you know, I want to take care of my family. Sometimes it's, you know, I found this product, I really want to show it to the world, it's great. And sometimes people, you know, they want to give back or they have some dream. So I like to include those passions people have for why they're in business and what they're doing. And making money is part of it, but there's always, I find there's always a reason underneath that we combine so that you can have I have a little phrase, we want to make your business meaningful and we want to make it moneyful as well.
Okay. Moneyful. I like that.
Thank you for laughing at my little joke. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many different businesses here in Manhattan Beach, you know, represented by the chamber. Most of them are, you know, the big money makers are established brick and mortar businesses, the retailers.
Sure.
The smaller businesses will probably be professional companies such as lawyers and doctors and accountants and so forth. And then there's a whole class of businesses now that are sales-oriented, like network marketing and other kinds of direct sales. When you think about the businesses in general that are run by one or two people, what do you think about the current state of affairs? Is it good? Is it getting better? What are some of the things that you see out there?
Well, it varies depending on the industry, but it can be really tough. I mean, you talk about the brick and mortar people. Amazon has certainly made a dent in a lot of their business, and you know, single service, you know, one or two people organizations. It can be very competitive. I know the South Bay is a very affluent place generally, But it tends to be very competitive, and unless you've got a unique product or a unique service, so a lot of people are struggling. We don't want to cover over that. So sometimes what I do is go in and look at their product and look at who they want to serve and what their product does underneath, and position it in a way that makes it a more unique. If you're a me too service these days, it's very difficult to compete with everyone else out there. Everyone's looking for the best price or whatever. In fact, I was at a chamber event last night at Rock and Fish and talking to a gentleman that does tile work. He's a contractor. And he was saying, I've been doing this a long time. My customers are really happy with my work. But more and more I run into people that are like, well, I got a bid that's half the price. Maybe why are you better? And it's frustrating for people like him. He's a master craftsman at what he does. And it's right. Not his game to go in and do sales. So, yes, you're right. It is tough. And having the tools to position yourself above the fray, to be competitive, to make sure that every person that you run into understands how your service is great for them is very important.
I talk to business owners all the time, and that's one of the biggest issues is that differentiation. As you say, in the worlds of transportation, taxis are under severe pressure from Uber and Lyft. There's Blue Apron and other companies that will send you a complete meal ready to prepare. So they're trying to keep people from going grocery shopping. There's a company that will send you an outfit or maybe a series of outfits that you can try on, and they've taken your sizes and your preferences, and they kind of send you clothes on a regular basis. And they want to keep you from going to the mall to buy clothes. There's a full-on onslaught of small businesses trying to get a national foothold in some area of our lives, and it just keeps rolling. This is a very interesting time to live.
It really is. It's amazing how right it's all become. Like, don't leave home. We'll just send everything to you. And it's funny. At the meeting last night, there was a woman. I think her name's Liz, and she's in charge of the Manhattan Mall. And I just found this out as I was leaving, but I really wanted to talk to her and say, how are your businesses doing? Because, brick and mortar is under siege in many ways from services just like that. I worked with a client that did address that. Would it be helpful to give an example of what you could do to address that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So this client was a relatively big retailer, and they had, a shop that had outfits for professional women. And, the only way they could generate more business was to do sales. And so they thought they needed to have a rebranding. So they went to some investors who were very smart with retail and said, we want to do this. Can you loan us some money so we can get the rebranding done? And the investors kind of did all these spreadsheets, and the bottom line was they said, look, your business is slowly going to die out. You need to do something very different. And it kind of left them, and that's not the kind of good news that you want to hear, right? So we worked with them, and one of the suggestions we came up with was, look, you need to look around. You need to do some research and find some way that you can differentiate themselves. Look at some business that's doing well, and how can you find a gap in the market? Find what is not being done, that what people want. And that's a big question. That's not a 5-minute answer. That takes some, go to the beach and reminisce on that, or think all you can and then let it go, and the answer will come back to you. But they did a bunch of research, and 6 months later, they came back and said, and this was in Australia, but so I don't think there's a, there might be something comparable, but in the local market, they came back and they said, look, what we found is there's these very high-end shops that cater to women, and you come in and you have a personal, you have a, I don't know what you call it, a personal designer that sets up all these outfits for you, and you can come in and try all this stuff on, and they work with you, and it's great. But she said, we think there's a gap for busy working women that need a place where they can get this done. So they designed kind of a mid-tier thing where you could come in and you've got this personal consultant who gives you advice on your perfect colors. They give you advice on the fits and cuts that work well with your body type. And so you have this selected wardrobe where you can come in and find something that works well for you, that really accents this person's good points. I'm not a fashion designer, so I'm not speaking, giving a
no,
great
you,
point.
No, you've
this,
got
but,
the language down.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. So what they did is, you know, then they would keep all these specs on file. So whenever the customer walked in the store, maybe they're greeted by name, but they could look up real fast what they had bought in the past and what would work for them. And so they had all these solutions that were very good for the that specific person. And what that allowed them to do was they actually could rent out a smaller space because they only kept stuff in stock that was really in fashion, and they kept a catalog so people could order whatever they want. They didn't lose those sales, but they found a niche that was, you know, the woman could come in, be greeted by her personal consultant, try all this stuff on, and then they had like 30 days that they had, could go home and think about it, and they could buy it at a 25% discount. And the store went from, you know, sleepy to people moping around to, it went to hopping because, you know, you think about it, especially, you know, Manhattan Beach, a lot of people, there's dual income families. The woman works as well, or maybe I should say the man works as well. That sounds kind of sexist, excuse me. But, you know, so they found a place where they found a niche where busy women workers can come in, find a great outfit, think about it if they want to, or buy it right there. And they got personalized service, not at this premium price, but at a price that made sense for getting great stuff to fit them. So that's an example of, you know, finding a market gap and, you know, taking a kind of sleepy brick and mortar store and converting it into something that was a very thriving business. And, you know, that's not a 5-minute solution, but that is a way to go from snoring to hopping. So that's an example, for instance. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I see this as taking some time and effort to, on your part, to understand this business and to understand what the business owner may be willing to do, what they want to do, and then designing a strategy for them to take their business to the next level. That sounds very interesting. Michael, can we step back a moment? And how did you get involved in this? What's your background in small business and development?
Sure, thank you. I mean, I don't know how far back you want to go. my grandfather founded the Palace Pretty Spinette. Well, okay. I mean, I have a unique, whatever. I mean, my grandfather farmed on the Palace Pretty Peninsula in 1926, or great-grandfather, whatever. So I've been around for a while. But I've had my own business since 1991. And I started in wireless, or it was cellular back then. And those were back in the days when you could just about set up a popsicle stand on the corner and make money selling cell phones. It was so crazy. It was just, we had lines of people and you just sold whatever you wanted. It was done. So I started in that business. And, you know, of course, then the big boys came in, the Best Buy, it was Circuit City at the time, whoever else. And so I had to do some gap finding myself. And I went into actually installation. That was long before Bluetooth. So back in the day, you had to install a system to put your phone in a cradle to make it go hands-free. And so I did that, and we worked through some other things. And I niched that business several times. And about 10 years ago, and well, along the whole way, I was studying marketing, and I went to an advisor back in 96 who gave me some great advice, and he doubled my business in 1 year. And so along the way, I've done what I'm aspiring other people, or I aspire to do, which is, you know, give people advice that helps them crank up their business. And I went full time into marketing about 8 years ago. I started studying and working with a mentor and helping him with projects and working with clients. And about 4 years ago, I went out on my own. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you look at someone's history, you get a sense of what their capabilities are, what their sort of their go-to. What do they say? If all you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. So
sure.
I want to know what kinds of tools you have in your chest to make my business better.
Okay, sure.
Can you go through that? Like, what are kind of the different ways that you can help someone address a business that's working but not booming?
Thank you. That's a really good way to put it. And I like working with those kind of businesses. I'm not the startup. Oof, those could be really rewarding and really exhausting. But I like businesses mm-hmm. that are already working that we want to get up better. And you know, back to where I started from, I grew up on a farm, believe it or not. So, and then my dad went into contracting. So I've always been around small businesses, and I understand the stress and the emotions and the ups and downs they go through. So I think that gives me another tool for relating well to these entrepreneurs and what they're going through. So I grew up with it, and I've lived it myself. So back mm-hmm. to tools. You talked about me understanding the business owner and what they're going through. And I think one of the most important things any business can do is to really understand their customer. And you would think, you know, oh, I talk to them all the time. I know what they're going through. But there's things that you need to do to really get in their shoes and to address the exact concerns they've got going on. And if your messaging, meaning your advertising or how your employees speak to these people or how you converse with them, if you're able to like mm-hmm. mimic the conversation that is in their head when they get up in the morning and their first concern is like, oh, I got to get this going, you have immediately caught their attention. So, you know, whether that's whatever the issue is with them, if you can know what the conversation is in their head, you're immediately going to have that person paying attention to you. And this is not my saying, but I agree with the notion that the most powerful thing in marketing is when someone feels perfectly understood. And if you think about any conversation, if you think about any conversation you've ever had with someone, when you feel really understood, there's like some magic. It's like, oh, I like this person. Oh, this is cool. You know, and you may not even think it. Sometimes it's just unconscious. So
yeah.
The idea of feeling very understood is important. And sometimes it you need to take a step back from the business if you've been in it a long time because it's all on automatic. And there's ways you can do this online, actually. You know, for instance, if you go look at the Amazon reviews of any product, you'll get people telling you exactly what they think. It's amazing. I mean, you used to have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to do group research and do these interviews to get this information. And right now it's online for free. So that's one way to find the information. Also, I know, especially in Manhattan Beach, most of our businesses, they talk to their customers in person. you know, this is very important to do if you're online. But when you talk to your customers, there's a way of talking to them to really understand what they're going through. And sometimes, you know, that can take surveys, that can take whatever. But if you can talk to the customer with a problem that's going on in their head and then give them a solution that is unique and that really solves that problem, then you're going to be ahead of most of the competition. That's one tool you can use. So it's very much understanding the underlying emotional triggers, because I think most of us have heard this. It just goes over our head sometimes. People buy on emotions, and they rationalize with the reasons, the logic behind it. So that's just who we are as human beings, and understanding what the emotional triggers are in any specific market is very important. And you might think it's all the same, but there's small variations that are very critical.
That is very important. That makes sense. Now, Jackie, I want to bring Jackie into the conversation, because she has a lot of friends that own businesses and in the South Bay. Can you see some of the businesses that you know, Jackie, using Michael's services?
It's interesting because we're talking specifically this morning about Manhattan Beach.
Right.
You know, my mind works in mysterious ways. Michael, you might
I like that.
I'm sure
I really like that. That's great, Jackie.
No, you're probably aware of what's happening in the downtown Manhattan Beach area, where a lot of people feel that the downtown area is losing its charms because the rents have gone through the roof, and small mom and pop shopkeepers are being pushed out. You know, they can't afford their rent anymore. What you're talking about, bringing your business to the next level, I'm thinking of, you know, Sal's Shoe Repair and the local dry cleaner, stuff like that, that they want to stay where they are, but they can't because their rent is going to triple next month, and they have to generate more income in order to stay. You know, so this is more like, it's not a wish like, oh, you know, I'm making $800,000 a year. How can I get it over a million? This is, if I want to be able to stay here and survive, I need to make more money. So it sounds to me like your services would absolutely be able to be utilized for a different reason. You know what?
Sure.
Am I clear? Do you get where I'm coming from?
Sure. I think so, yes. It's not like, oh, it'd be nice. It's like, no, I have to do that if I'm going to keep my business
right
where it is. Or if I want to keep my business open in some cases, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's more do or die. Yes. Well, that's go ahead, guys.
Go on, Michael.
I just said that's the unfortunate reality of, you know, the marketplace and Manhattan Beach being such a desirable place to be and the property value skyrocketing, et cetera, et cetera. But to get a business to $1 million, a lot of times you've got to do things that are uncomfortable. And certainly going out of business is going to be uncomfortable. So they're already in that spot. So, and in some ways they have little to lose, and that
right
can be very challenging. But another tool they might be able to use for that business is a lot of businesses, you know, put out a basic product. They do shoe repair, or they do dry cleaning. And sometimes it takes some thinking, and it takes some outside-the-box thinking, exactly like you were talking about. But there are almost always a small amount of customers that just love you. And they're willing to spend a lot more than just the basic price for a service that would really work for them. And, you know, I don't know off the top of my head what it would be for a shoe repair shop, but, you know, if you've got someone who's been coming to see you for 5 years, they are going to love what you do. And, you know, I mean, we don't need to get into women and their shoes, but You know, if you've got some shoe repair guy you love, maybe there's something else you can do for your top, 5% of customers. That's it's not, a $20 shoe repair. It's a $200 whatever.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I don't have an example off the top of my head, but I've seen this over and over again in businesses where it's available to do. And I think we've got to take a break pretty soon here, right?
We're going to take a break, but
I just
want to offer real quickly that I'd love to talk about specific businesses, and I want to talk about shoes when we come back, because that's a business that could be, tweaked with just a little idea here or there and could become extremely successful. I've got an idea. We'll talk about it after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Michael McCarroll, and we're talking about cracking the code to seven figures. Now, it's those businesses that are successful, that want to be more successful, but it's also businesses that are just surviving, that want to go to the next level and not just survive, but thrive. And we want to talk about those kinds of businesses. Michael specializes in you could call it the business whisperer. We'll talk about that as well. We know that you must have some questions out there. If there are any business owners that are listening live, we'd love to have you call in and give us a small problem that we can give you some ideas on. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And now we're back, Michael, and I have to tell you, when I think about shoes, it all of a sudden occurred to me that, it's very much like you have to think of your customers, and in terms of customers that love you, you have to think of their lifetime value. And
the lifetime value of a
shoe repair, maybe it's $200, let's say, or I don't know, $250, but pick a number. And as a shoe repair guy, you could say, for $175, I will repair your shoes for life. So $175 shoe repaired for life. And in that way, people would commit $175, and then you agree, hey, whenever you bring in the shoe in a reasonable time frame, we will repair it. That keeps them coming back because there's no cost to come back and get a shoe repaired. But when they come back, they might get a belt, they might get this, they might get that. They certainly, if there's a problem with the shoe and they come in, they know it's free. But in the meantime, they've told a friend, they've told a neighbor, so they're bringing their shoes in. It's the concept of lifetime value of a service that I know a lot of small businesses don't understand. Because maybe it's not going to cost you $175. I mean, it's not going to cost you. You're going to maybe break even on that over the life of the shoe. But they're going to come in multiple times. They're going to bring people. They're going to advertise for you, and that's worth it. Do you do things like that in terms of counseling small businesses to make sure that people feel comfortable coming back often?
You hit a really critical point. Thanks, Joe. I mean, a lot of people, especially small business owners, even if they're aware of it, they haven't taken the time to do that. But the lifetime value of a customer is a really critical metric to understand. Really critical.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. It's like, well, here's my lifetime value, and it's an average, but it's like, well, they spend $250 or whatever it is. So it gives you a metric for understanding. You know, a lot of small businesses, it's like, I can't advertise. I don't want to spend $50 to bring this guy in. If they get one pair of shoes done, I just lost $40 or whatever it is. But when you understand lifetime value, you begin to see, oh, well, it cost me $50, but they're actually spending $200 more on average, so this makes sense, and it really opens up a whole other avenues of creative marketing, creative advertising. I love your idea of, great, we'll give you $175 and your shoes are repaired for life. And, you know, when you do stuff like this, you always have to have little asterisks at the bottom, like, you know, you can only have up to 5 shoes a year or something, you know, because you'll get people that are crazy. And it's like, oh, well, I brought in my nanny's shoes and I brought in my grandma's shoes and I brought in, but there's smart ways of doing it, just like there's smart ways of offering, you know, guarantees as well. But lifetime value, thank you for bringing that up. That is a super critical thing for businesses to understand. I had a client, I love this business, but he helps businesses hire great salespeople. And if anyone on the line has ever tried to hire a salesperson, it is a nightmare. I mean, you get these salespeople that are so good about the way they talk, and then you hire them, and they don't sell squat, you know? And this guy had 200 salespeople working for him at one time, and he's just developed a system that he said, like, 200,000 applicants go through a system. Well, he sells this thing for about $300 a month, and so he was, you know, doing the calculations, and he was, like, shutting off advertising, doing this, and he's a smart guy. But finally, we did the calculations, and his lifetime value was, like, $2,500. And he's like, duh, wow. So if I spend even $700 to bring somebody in, it's going to be well worth it. And just okay, spend $700 to get $2,600. Gee, well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that, you know, I'll keep spending $700 until my bank account's dry, because it's not going to dry up. It's going to be replenished all the time. Mm-hmm. So that lifetime value, that's a great concept, Joe. And yeah, do you want to offer a program like that? That says, you know, you get your shoes fixed the rest of your life, and you've got to be smart about that. You know, some people are going to take that program and then never come back. Well, sometimes that happens, and you're going to get other people that are always coming back. But like you said, they come in and get belts, or they're going to buy shoe polish, or you find things that people that love their shoes are really into. And of course, you know, it's going to be little fashion accessories, maybe scarves, I don't know, maybe you put earrings in there, or maybe you work with another shop that has women accessories, and you work out a partnership where you send your customers to that shop, and you give your customers a little discount, but you get a piece of everything they spend. So there's ways of working together with other shop owners too that can really make that work. And your great customers are going to look at that and be very happy you did that. And that can work. That can work good for everybody.
I have a couple of things, Jackie. I have to add here. Yeah. Number one, just getting back to the shoe repair guy, because I've got a great shoe repair guy. All right. And that's a really super important service. And people think shoe repair guy. Well, years and years ago, you know, I figured out, you know, I don't just bring my shoes to him. I bring my bags to him, my purses. You know, when an attachment breaks, or I get a scuff mark on a patent leather bag or something like that, I bring that in. Then I just, you know, then of course, same thing with any leather goods, belts, you know, anything like that, repair, cleanup. And then several years ago, I realized I can bring them my luggage. Because you know how beat up luggage gets when you travel? You know, several years ago, I went out and I purchased a really nice set of luggage, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to go with black. I'm going to do something different. And I bought this gorgeous red luggage that got filthy the first time I used it. You know, they throw it in the bottom of the plane. You get all these black scruff marks on it and stuff. And I can bring that stuff into my shoe repair guy, and he can clean it and fix it. So there's all these other things outside of shoes, you know, that you can utilize this guy for. And goodness, I certainly do. That's just one thing about the shoe repair guy. The other thing you were talking about, Michael, I come across this every single day because I sell advertising on my website. My website has you can purchase advertising. And so many people that I approach or I meet at a chamber events or other events, and I say something. I say, oh, my advertising is very reasonable. And they say, well, I don't have an advertising budget. You know, and it's amazing to me how many people don't have an advertising budget. And what I always explain to them is, first off, my rates are super reasonable. But here's the biggest difference between advertising in the local newspaper, and this is a big one. And for some reason, when people want to advertise, the first thing they think of is the local paper. That's all well and good. Our local papers come out, our free ones come out once a week, all right? And as we know, Joe, how many of what percentage of those go right in the recycling bin?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, the biggest difference is, the biggest difference is my website, say I put up a new ad for something, and the first couple of months, you get a lot of clicks on it, right? And I have regular users. I have people that come back every day or a couple times a week to my website to see what's going on. So say, and I have, it's funny, I have a couple of restaurateurs that understand this. Even if somebody is not looking to go out to dinner that night, because in the corner of their mind, that ad is there every time. And they've seen it. They see it once. They think, okay, I know it's there. But it's in the back of their head. It's always there. So the next time they think, oh, you feel like going out for a burger. Oh, look, why not Rockin' Brews? Because it's always there at the forefront. It's always right in front of you. And you click on it, and you can go right to the menu to see what you want. It's really interesting. When I was doing the research for my website, and I knew that I was going to be a small market. I was reading information on markets like small towns, like 10,000 people or less. And one of the things I read that stuck with me that I find really important is Joe the plumber buys an ad on your website. And people see it every day, but you don't need their services, so you skip it. You go buy it. You don't pay attention to it. But the minute somebody needs a plumber, that's the guy they go to because it's there every day. And you see it every day, and it's in the back of your mind. It's like Larry, right, Joe? Larry the mattress guy, all right? He's been around forever. Yeah, he has commercials all over the place. I'm not buying a mattress for another 5 or 6 years, you know? But when that 5 or 6 years comes and I need a mattress, where am I going to go? I'm going to Larry.
Right.
So I don't know how you quantify that, Michael. I don't know how you quantify that always – It's always present, you know, having an ad, something like that, where it has a presence. It's always there. You don't need the plumbing service. You don't need the new mattress, but it's there. And when you do need it, you're going for that.
Yes, it's very valuable. It's kind of branding on a small scale, or you're branded in the beach cities area for sure. And quantifying it can be a little tricky, but I always recommend that people track their advertising so you can go back and say, well, I spent so much on Jackie's ad, and look, I got 3 customers or I got 5 customers or whatever it is. Might be kind of tougher for a restaurant or something like that, but a plumbing service should be able to track that kind of stuff and see, okay, well, we spent this much for 3 months and we got, 2 customers, and damn, this is making sense. Let's keep doing it. So tracking is a very important thing, and just like Joe mentioned, lifetime value, the tracking is a whole key to knowing what advertising is working and what advertising is not, or what segments are doing well in your advertising. It's super critical.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Now,
and that's one of the first things that I tell all of my advertisers. Because I have Google Analytics. I have a couple of different analytics that I can track. But that's the first thing I always say. I say, I can tell you what numbers I'm getting. I said, but it's always a great idea for you to be able to track where your traffic is coming from. Unfortunately, I find 99% of people do not track their analytics. They don't track their numbers at all. I think that the fact that Google Analytics makes it a little difficult to set it up, figure out how it works. but that's the first thing I say to people. I say, yeah, I can give you my numbers, but I always like to, back it up with your numbers. you know? So that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I know, Michael, you have a website, Cracking7, cracking7figures.com. How do you get most of your clients, and how can clients get in touch with you?
Great question, Joe. Thank you. So the book I've written, Cracking the Code to Seven Figures, is free to business owners. I mean, not only the book's free, the shipping's free. So if you go to cracking7figures.com, and you can write the number seven or you can spell the number seven, it's going to take you to the same place. Then you'll see a little bit about me, and there's a link where you can order the book for free. And you simply click on the link and give us your address and your name, and we send you the book. So I recommend people do that, because once you, it's not Hemingway, but I did try and make it a little entertaining. So you get a flavor for what I'm like and how I work. And, you know, there's 10 myths. You might just look at the one that you're like, what do you mean? I know it's going to be really stressful if I get to seven figures. Well, it doesn't have to be. And I talk about that in the book under that myth. So you can read the book. And then I also offer a free consultation. And I do that simply because, you know, a business relationship is not quite a marriage, but you got to be with the right person. And so I want an opportunity for the person who's thinking about working with me to talk to me and me to them to see, is there a fit here? Because, you know, I'm not for everybody. I'm really clear on that. And just like businesses, a business has an ideal client, and there's some clients that aren't well served for them. Like, it's just a quick story that I, again, a chamber meeting last night, Ken, who has the German car repair, he said he stopped working for Porsche owners because they were too difficult to work with. So now he just does Mercedes and a BMW. Little aside, but there's a free consultation so that you can see, hey, are we good working together? I can give you some ideas, give you some strategies about what you can do to get some quick wins in your business, and go from there. So that's how people get a hold of me, for sure. And it's, you know, the world's about relationships. And I find, the chamber talks about this. I mean, there's so many people, everything's online. And online's great, but face-to-face meetings or phone-to-phone conversations are really critical. And if you're going to interface with your client, you need some of this face time or this phone time to get things really, really good.
Right.
I want to hear more about why Porsche owners are so difficult.
maybe you should interview Ken and get him on the line. But he just said, you know, this is a G-rated program, so I want to give you my exact thoughts.
Yeah.
But he just said, you know, they're just a pain, and it was not worth the time, you know. And so it's a smart thing. You know, one of the smartest things you can do, and I do this with clients, is like, not only do we need to focus on the top 20% of your customers, but let's look at the bottom 20%, the ones that give you the problems. And are they really worth it? Once you understand your lifetime value and the headache they can call and the demoralizing effect on having bad customers, are they worth it? Really? 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 Like, what happens if you get rid of them? Or, you know, send them to your competition. Hello, you know? Something like that. So, but
I think anyway, you have on your website kind of the myth. And you'll discover how throwing more money at your business is throwing money away, but also why making more sales doesn't always bring the right kind of growth. Talk about that, because growth kills, doesn't it?
Well, it can, yes. And if you know, this bad customer thing is one of them. If you just throw in a bunch more sales, you know, sometimes you get overwhelmed with trying to process all that stuff. And I think, you know, we talked about the top 20%, and maybe you have some special, not a $20 shoe repair, but a $200 package. And if you've got customers that already like you and are happy to spend more money with you, But that's such a win-win. I mean, they love you for doing that, and you like them, and you haven't stressed yourself out more. You simply brought more money into your business without having to crank things up so crazily. And another aspect of this is, I have this saying, it's called conversion is king. And what that means is, you know, we all have businesses, and just for sake of illustration, maybe 1 out of 10 people you talk to or you advertise to becomes a customer. Well, what if we make that 1.5, or we make that 2, and instead of one person, 2 people become out of 10 become customers? You've just taken the same amount of advertising, you already have overhead, you already started your business, but we make that sales conversion much higher. I think that's the most critical thing we can do with your business, is really to get that process together. And sometimes it's educating your employees on how to talk to customers, or getting them to draw a little diagram that explains this kind of exotic process you do. Whatever it is, or your advertising, and how you message people, how you write those ads. But if you get a better response from the process that's already there, then that is a way to get better return on investment. It's just like, oh, I can get 1% in the bank, or I can get 2%. Well, let's get that up, because if we can get even a 30% bump in whatever you're doing, that just makes your life so much less stressful, and you'll draw those clients that you want to draw. I kind of went off on a little diversion. Did I answer your question, Joe?
No, I think so. That's the thing that I worry most about with my business, is really trying to figure out how to up, to get people to come back. We just began doing farmers markets in 2 locations, in Playa Vista and Hermosa Beach. And that first sale is great. I just want to try to figure out ways to get the customers to come back. Because those are your best customers, right? People that have already experienced your product.
Sure. Great. Yes. Well, that's a little bit of customer service, making sure they have a great experience, making sure they feel well understood. But yeah, return customers they're fabulous, are referrals.
Right.
So that's very important too. Another technique that you can use is a referral. What it's called, a referral brochure. So if you think about it, when I say referral to most business owners, they kind of roll their eyes, and like, they're used to being hit up by the life insurance salesman that says, okay, I need the names and phone numbers of 10 of your families and friends. And it's like, that's the last thing you want to do, is give your friends and family, have them being harassed by some pesky salesperson. But instead of that, if you make like a simple brochure that, if you're a chiropractor, the brochure would be 4 ways to lessen or stop back pain. And I'm just making this up off the top of my head. But if you put out something that's valuable to the person who gets this pamphlet, it's an educational pamphlet. If you make that, and it takes a little bit of time, it takes a little bit of printing, but if you do something that's valuable and it's educational for the problem you solve in the market, you can use this for a long time. And so when you see your clients, you say, hey, if you know anybody that also has back pain, why don't you just hand them this little educational brochure? Now, your clients are going to go out and they're happy with you. They're going to hand it to their friends. And now their friends are like, oh, this is cool, thank you. So you've just made your client look good, and you look good as well. It's a really brilliant way of doing referrals, and especially in the South Bay, referrals are a lot of how we do business. So I've kind of gone through that pretty quickly, but if you can get a referral brochure that educates your ideal client and gives them something valuable, you've now made your client look good and you look good. That's like a win-win-win-win. Or I think there's just 3 wins, but everyone's happy there. So that's another tool we can use that's really underutilized, because most businesses work really well on referral, but we want to take this referral and really turn it up to the max.
Now let's break this down. What are the elements to a referral piece like this? I mean, obviously you have a customer and they're happy with you. What mm-hmm. is appropriate to give them as a gift to refer someone?
Well, okay, so this is it takes some thought, because you're trying to figure out what can I provide my ideal client that's going to help their mm-hmm. situation. So, you know, maybe if we go back to the chiropractor, you know, here's some things you can do to ease or stop your back pain. And, you know, maybe it's how they sit in the chair. I mean, I'm not a chiropractor. I don't know. But for illustration, that's the kind of thing you want to do. It might be like the when I was talking to the contractor last night and we're talking about tile, and, you know, everyone's trying to do something really cheap. I said, what if you made a brochure that educates their customer on how to choose a really good contractor? Wouldn't that be interesting? So because contractors, I'm sure there's great contractors that are part of the chamber, but, you know, as a general rule, contractors are a little shady. So if people get a brochure that educates them on the best way to choose a contractor, so they get the best value, because that's what people are after. They don't mind paying the price. They don't want to get ripped off, or they don't want bad work. So if you could put together a brochure that educated people on the best way to choose a contractor, well, if someone's had tile work done and one of your friends goes, oh, this looks great, and they get handed a brochure on how to choose a good contractor, you're not pitching yourself per se. You're just saying, hey, this is how you are going to ask some questions to be intelligent to get the job done that you want done. And of course, you know, the contractor's name is in the back, so they're like, they read this thing, and then they're most likely going to call you. But instead of the pesky salesperson where the person's annoyed because they gave your name out for a referral, now you've made your client look great, and the person they've handed the referral brochure is happy because they have great information, and in the process, you look great as well. Does that break it down a little bit more?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. I think that's very good. You need to offer value, and you're offering the value of giving them the right tools in terms of questions to ask a contractor.
Thank you. That's so true these days. You need to give away something free that's valuable often before people will do business with you. You can't just say, well, I'm great at this, trust me, and have people do business. If you offer something of value up front that's free, then people are like, oh, that's cool, this is valuable. You've already built a relationship with them. It's easy for them to come back to you and do business now.
Right. Beautiful. That's wonderful. So we have just a little time left, Michael. I want to thank you, Michael McCarroll, for joining us today, cracking the code to 7 figures.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jackie. It's been a pleasure. It's a little early in the morning for me, but that's it's all good. I've had kind of a morning voice, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you. I'm very impressed with the radio show you do and how you help people, and gosh, lifetime value and your experience. Obviously, you're very experienced entrepreneurs yourself, so it's been my pleasure.
Well, it's been a life work, and now I'm an urban farmer, and I'm very happy, as well as being the host of the South Bay Show. This is a wonderful place to live, and I just hope to be a bigger and better part of the community. That's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. It's been wonderful. Cracking 7, the number 7, or I guess you can spell it out, but cracking7figures.com. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
What are you going to do this weekend, Jackie?
I'm resting.
Okay, she's resting. Well, have a fantastic weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.